Stay tuned. In this episode, we talk about some of the most critical mistakes to avoid while dieting.
Elite Physique University, your source for all things physique enhancement.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Elite Physique University. I'm John Gorman, your host today, and welcome back to another Master's Class edition. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the critical mistakes to avoid while you're in the dieting phase. And this is something, as you know, we have just started launching these PowerPoint presentations, full lecture series, and I'm excited for you guys to see these as they drop every single Wednesday. So if you would, please like, subscribe. I know every YouTube channel and person that's out there lecturing and doing stuff like this, we always ask, but it really helps get the word out. It helps grow our channel. So if you find any kind of value in this, please like, subscribe, leave any comments that you have. I would really love to interact with you. So let's go ahead and jump on in here and let's get this PowerPoint presentation going. So again, I said this is critical mistakes to avoid during a dieting phase. And this is all stuff that, you know, you're going to see pictures up here. You've seen Leno Robinson, Jason Wells, you know, I'm pictured here with Logan Sheehan, one of my competitors. Not all these people are bodybuilders, but these are all my clients. And I'm going to show you pictures and examples. They don't necessarily go with the topic, but it's just going to show you some of the different physique transformations that I've learned from, and then I've made these mistakes with people and fixed them. So this is a really fun topic here that we're going to get into. A little bit about me, if you're not familiar with me. If you are, just go ahead and fast forward real quick on YouTube. But I've been in the trenches 17 years. I own Team Gorman. I've been a full-time diet coach since 2007. So a lot of these mistakes that we're going to talk about, I have not only made them myself, I've learned from them. And the best way to learn something is to fail. If you happen to really, really mess up bad, look at it as an opportunity to learn and get better. So fail forward is something that it's overused, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it's something to where the more you learn from failure, the better. And these mistakes are all mistakes I've either made dieting myself or well over, you know, a couple thousand clients. So just a little bit about me. I've been there, done it. So I'm excited to pass these on. Here's our overview. And like I said, these are the mistakes that I've made. But avoiding these critical mistakes, they can make or break your long-term success. So this is something to where I want it to be a game changer for you. Maybe you're someone like Stacy here, all right? Maybe you're someone that you've tried to diet and you just can't get past the hump, or you can't just get that physique that you want, or you're just not getting the results that you feel like you should get. A lot of the times it's these little mistakes that, and these aren't, by the way, these aren't simple mistakes. I'm niching down pretty hard here. Like, these are going to be some good mistakes that most people don't know about. We'll talk about some common ones, but these are a lot of ones that people just don't know that are sabotaging their results. So I want this to be a game changer for you all. And I also want you to think about this analogy. If you notice that middle bullet point here, think about your physique as a car, okay? So, Stacy, it's a good picture here, a good example. You know, do you drive an old beater car or do you drive a nice sports car, a very nice luxury car? So you want to think of your physique in the same way. You know, Stacy, in her before picture, she's driving an old beater car. You know, it's a rusty car. It needs new tires. You know, it probably needs oil change. It probably needs a tune-up. It needs a lot of things done to it. But now she's driving around in a brand new car, a nice luxury car. She's worked very hard. She takes care of it. She changes the oil. Like, it's a completely good feeling to drive a new car. Like, we all know that feeling. Think about your physique the same way. Once you're done with your transformation and this becomes a lifestyle, you're going to feel like you're walking around in a new car. So always think of that kind of analogy. There's nothing more important than your physique when it comes to that. So also, fixing some of these mistakes or avoiding these mistakes are also, it's a good chance for you to take control over your physique, but it's just going to blend into all kinds of areas of life. And we're not really going to get into that, but like, you're going to be better in every area, the better results you get when it comes to physique enhancement. So a lot of people, they'll nod their head and they'll agree to a lot of these mistakes that I'm going to point out here, but very few people actually go all in and fix them. So this is your chance to really be able to get on top of things and to make some great progress. So let's go ahead and get on into them. All right. Good old Jason Wells. If I go back to the very first slide, He's the one there on the far right. 455 pounds down to 207 pounds. One of the best transformations, honestly, I just think of all time. Okay, so that's Jason. So now let's go back down to our first mistake of the day. You can see he's got his nice apron on. I think this was probably done at Thanksgiving. Not to say he's fallen off the plane, because he's not. He's one of the most dedicated people there is. But, you know, I like to throw up a funny picture here and there of my clients. So the first mistake that I see people make all the time is, instead of having one quote-unquote cheat meal or free meal, they end up having a free day, a cheat day. Like, we've all seen the books, the literature out there that's written over the last 20, 30 years about just having a free day, a cheat day. There's all kinds of videos out there for people that promote that kind of stuff. There's coaches for hire that are just going to let you eat whatever you want all day on like a Sunday, for example. And I'm here to tell you, I used to do that with Body for Life. And a lot of people, as a coach now, working with so many people on almost two decades, I can tell you, I see a lot of people take two steps forward with their dieting and then two steps back. So they literally eat so much on that cheat day that they spin their wheels. They lose a lot of good fat for 6 days, and then they gain most of it back in one day. And I don't care what influencer out there says, you can't really eat yourself out of 6 days of fat loss in just one day. I'm here to tell you, you certainly can. So one large day of overeating means that for 6 days, if you're making progress, right? If you're someone that's dieting and you're dropping well, but you're eating anything and everything you want one day a week, those 6 days of dieting, I just know, because I put my clients through this before back in the day, they're going to have to be so low calorie and so high cardio that to offset that one high day of eating. And it's not a good thing. So there's not research done on this, but if you really think about it, 6 days of very low calories, high activity, high cardio, workouts most days, your metabolic rate's going to slow for 6 days. So when you actually do overeat on day seven, it's going to stick to you a lot easier because your metabolism is slowed from 6 days of low calories and high activity. Now, is it going to happen in the first week? No. But if you think about it, people do that for months. Now you're seeing 6 out of 7 days for months on very low calories. So it's definitely something you don't want to fall into that habit. Let's talk about how to fix this. There's a couple different tactics here. For free meals, I like to just, for my clients that need those, they need to just go out and have a nice meal off plan and not track and not worry about it. I try and have them do that at the end of the day. And here's why. If you start your day off on Sunday with some pancakes or something, you're like, you know what? I just want to have a nice big pancake breakfast and whatever. Usually what happens is a few hours later go by and you've already had that and you're like, I'm just going to have some more. And then, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, you're like, I've got some ice cream in the freezer. That's how, if you start your day off with a free meal, it's going to turn into a free day. So I try and have people save theirs until later in the day. And I just tell them to eat one meal, whatever they want, until they're comfortable full. Excuse me. And it's literally as simple as that. Another tactic that you can use, now I don't recommend this for everybody, especially if you have issues with food. And I don't want this to become a habit. But the second bullet point is, if you want to hold out some of your carbs and fats during the day and have that free meal at night, because you're somebody that tends to want to eat a really, really big meal, like maybe you want to take your family to a buffet, for example. And listen, if that's what helps you stick to the plan, that's fine with me. You can eat a little bit lower carb, a little bit lower fat during the day, say on Sunday, and eat your protein, and then you can just have whatever you want later. It's not something I want everyone to do. It can cause eating disorders. I don't want you to start doing that every single day and that becomes a lifestyle. But if you do know that you have a bigger meal coming, you can do that. It's just a tactic. Something else that I like people to do higher reps, 20 to 30 reps on the day that you're going to have your free meal or your high carb refeed, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. High reps are important. So if you're doing an upper body workout, every single set you do it in the 20 to 30 rep range. That depletes muscle glycogen, right? So it depletes the muscle cells of glycogen and it leaves more room. So when you do eat more carbs, you fill out the muscle cells with priority because you've just depleted them. Your insulin sensitivity improves with higher reps. So higher reps go hand in hand with a high carb day, a free meal, things of that nature. So that way you don't store fat as easy. So definitely do high reps on that day. You can also, from a supplementation standpoint, use a glucose disposal agent. Those are basically, they mimic insulin, so they help insulin do its job storing carbohydrates, and your body secretes less insulin because you're taking a glucose disposal agent to help it do its job. So anytime you can get away with lower insulin in the body circulating, that's better, and it leads to less fat gain. So it also makes dieting easier. So GDAs are just great year-round. But honestly, the number one way that I like to fix this with clients is I like to have them do a high-carb refeed day and count their protein, carbs, and fats if that's something that they can stick to. So here's a general rule of thumb. I don't like to give out numbers all the time because there's always outliers, but just for most people, women, you can add an extra 100 carbs to your day that you're dieting on, and that can be your high-carb day. Guys, an extra 200, and that's just a general rule of thumb. So if you're a female and you're dieting on 150 carbs and you're dropping the way that you want, one day a week, have 250 carbs. It's an extra 400 calories that you get to add. It'll give you some energy for 2 or 3, 4 days to get those workouts in. It can let you enjoy to eat some extra food. Guys, if you're dieting on 200 carbs a day and making progress and you want to have a high carb refeed, do 400 carbs on a Sunday. Do your high reps and take a GDA with those carb meals that day, so it helps really pack home the glycogen storage in the muscle where we want it. So those seem to work better. And here's the thing, the more strict you are and the more you can count your food, the more you know exactly what's happening. However, if that's not something that you can stick to and you need that free meal, notice this in red, the very last bullet point, find what you can stick to, and it needs to become a lifestyle. It's a long-term plan. So you need to be able to get results on it, but you also need to be able to stick to it. So if that means it's a free meal, it's a free meal. But if you can do a high-carb refeed during a dieting period, save those cheat meals and those free meals for later in the off-season. So that's how to fix that first one. All right, let's talk about eating too clean. This is definitely a mistake that those of us used to make, you know, prior to 2010, even, you know, 2010 to 2015, I still saw, especially in the bodybuilding community. You know, there were those quote-unquote foods that work, clean foods. Food from the ground. And when it was time to diet, everyone was eating chicken and rice and fish and asparagus and potatoes and egg whites and oatmeal. Like those were the foods, right? There might be some others, you know, some turkey and things like that. But, you know, everyone started the quote unquote clean diet. And listen, there's nothing wrong with eating clean. You know exactly what's in those foods. It's very easy to track. But most people thought that there were magic foods that you could only eat clean foods and you couldn't lose weight. And I'm here to tell you that's a mistake. And what we saw was a lot of people, especially in the bodybuilding world, extreme restriction just causes massive eating disorders. If you've ever dieted for a show and you're listening right now, you're nodding your head. You remember what happened after you dieted for your show and you were eating perfectly clean. Is you went out and you ate everything in sight and you gained a lot of weight really fast. So mental restriction is a real thing. You want to be careful not to give yourself an eating disorder by restricting certain types of foods. And also eating the same foods over and over can lead to food intolerances. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with that they ate chicken for 4 or 5 meals for years, and now all of a sudden, like, their body can't process chicken very well. And they have, you know, digestion issues and gut health issues whenever they eat chicken. They have an intolerance to it because they ate too much of it over and over and they didn't get enough variety. So that's the important thing. You want to make sure that, you know, you're not eating so strict and so clean that you're eliminating other foods that your body needs to get in there. And then finally, too, a couple other things. When someone's eating too clean, they fall off the plan. You feel like a failure, and then you get the case of the fuckets, and you just eat everything in sight. And you don't want that, because then that leads to throwing in the towel and quitting. And I can tell you, back when I first got started, you know, really hardcore in like 2006, 2007, I was doing Body for Life. And when I fell off the plan because I was trying to eat so perfect and so clean, like when I messed up, I felt like I failed, and I would just, that would snowball and I'd be done. And I would quit for literally months at a time. So again, it comes back to being able to find a plan for you. And that's what we're going to talk about, how to fix it, that you can stick to. So using flexible dieting is something that I'm a huge proponent of. The second book I wrote is called The Flexible Fat Loss Solution. It talks about eating the foods that you like, but you have to make sure you track the protein, carbs, and fats, right? Those are the macros that make up your calories for the day. And you have to realize, I've had people get on stage eating literally pancakes and Pop-Tarts and low-fat ice cream and baked chips. As long as they counted their food, they got shredded. And if they were like, good picture here is Ray Law. Like, he is shredded here. He didn't get on stage, but he's very, very lean. it's not so much about the food you eat, it's about tracking. And when you're in a deficit, I'm telling you, if you want to have 40 carbs from pancakes after your workout or 40 carbs from rice, there's not going to be a difference. Your body knows a number. Okay, so as long as you hit your protein, carbs, and fats, food really becomes irrelevant. Outside of overall health, like you want to try and eat as healthy as you can. You know, there's been studies done at University of South Florida with Dr. Bill Campbell, and those showed that, you know, there was zero difference in fat loss between flexible dieting and quote-unquote clean eating. However, the subjects showed that they cheated less on their plan and they enjoyed the plan more. So I like kind of the 80-20 rule, which has kind of been overdone. But, you know, I like to tell my clients, eat as healthy as you can, but bake in some of the foods that you crave. And by the way, if you want to have pancakes after your workout, once a day, and you're eating six meals a day, and you have some pancakes and a whey shake after your workout, but your other five meals are very, very healthy and clean, so to speak, that's okay. Like, that's very consistent, because if it helps you stick to the plan, that's the ultimate goal. And then finally, this middle bullet point here is just something I want people to be aware of, is you're going to get shit sometimes. Like, it doesn't matter whether you're dieting and eating clean and taking stuff with you, or you're eating things that aren't quote unquote dieting foods, you're going to get shit from people. Don't worry about that. Just do your thing. Keep your head down, because I can assure you, those people that are giving you a hard time, as you're getting results, they're going to be the first one to knock on your door and be like, hey, can you help me with a diet? So just keep doing your thing and don't worry about it. But fixing that is to use a flexible dieting approach. All right, another mistake here, and this is one you'd be surprised. I see this more with females than I do males. So, you know, guys, most of you aren't huge fans of cardio, but females seem to like doing more of it. But guys, we also have a lot of female clients too, right? So like, this is something that's going to apply for everyone, but I definitely see it more, especially in the competitive space with females. And that mistake is starting off with too much cardio. So I want people to understand, when you start off with too much cardio, I get it. We all want to drop as much as we can, as fast as we can. But the thing that you have to remember is, if you start off with high cardio, your body adapts to steady state cardio. Things like a brisk walk. You know, I like to throw a weighted vest on and go walk for 20 to 30 minutes, right? When you do something like that, or walking on a treadmill, or riding a bike, or an elliptical, it's steady state. Your body adapts to that very quickly. And I've seen with my clients, once I add in some steady state cardio, after about 3 weeks, their body's starting to become used to it, and it's time to add a little bit more. So if you start off with you know, 30 to 60 minutes, 5, 6, 7 days a week, that happens quite a bit. When your body stalls after, you know, 3, 4 weeks or a month or what have you, where are you going to go from there? Are you now going to do an hour a day most days of the week? This is where, in the bodybuilding community, we see people doing 2 hours of cardio a day. My clients never get that high. If I get them above 30 to 40 minutes a day towards the end, something's not right. And usually, you know, either they're not on plan, or they've kind of got hormone dysfunction or something like that. But I never start people off with high cardio, and it's because of this mistake. It will lead to doing so much. You've also got to remember, high cardio means very elevated cortisol levels chronically. So almost every single day, if you're doing tons of cardio, your cortisol is going to be chronically high, and that leads to more stalls, which means you have to add more cardio, which leads to cortisol being higher. It's a vicious cycle. And it just means you have less room to add cardio when you do stall. So again, we're going to talk about how to fix this. The other thing too is, there's the adaptation that happens with steady state that I talked about that doesn't happen so much with HIIT. So let's go ahead and talk about how to fix this. I like to tell my clients, before we start a diet, if possible, if I've got 3 to 4 weeks, just pull your cardio out. Give your body a break from cardio. It's just 3 to 4 weeks, and just weight train. That way your body becomes quote unquote unused to dieting, or unused to the cardio. So when you start dieting, you can add some in, and you just add a small amount. You'll see that first bullet point says start with 10 minutes three times a week, 10 to 15 minutes. These days I generally start about 15 minutes three times a week. But you're hoofing it. Like, you're not just going for a stroll listening to a podcast. Like, I want to see people get their heart rate 120, 130, you know, three times a week for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then you've got to remember, most people are going to work out, you know, 5 days a week on average. So that lets you start with a low amount of cardio, and then it leaves you room to add later. So now when someone stalls, I can take them from 3 sessions to 4 sessions, and then to 5 sessions a week, or I can bump it from 10 to 15 minutes to 20 minutes. For there's all kinds of different ways that you can add it, but it leaves you room to add, and it means that you're not going to end up sky high. The other thing too is try HIIT, high intensity interval training. So here's the difference. HIIT intervals you can do once, 1 to 2 times a week, 3 to 5 intervals. And if you're on my YouTube page watching, what you can do is go to my playlist, and I've got different HIIT cardio selections, especially one on the spin bike. It's got like 50,000 views at the time of this recording. It shows you how to do HIIT on a spin bike, and it's a very good method. Your body doesn't adapt to that. It's almost because it's such high intensity. I've got many people I've dieted for 20 weeks before, and I've never had to up their HIIT because it's such a high intensity approach. Their body doesn't get used to it very easy. So try doing some HIIT instead of doing all steady state cardio. It boosts your metabolic rate as well, so it helps fuel fat loss, and it burns fat over the course of 24 hours, where steady state, you're really just kind of burning fat while you do it. So if you're doing it for 15 minutes, you're burning fat for about 15 minutes. HIIT cardio, if you go out and you do, say, a sprint, right? You do 5 sprints, run 100, 50-yard dash 5 times. Your body's using glycogen during that period of sprinting, but your metabolism boosts after that, and you burn fat for fuel for up to 24 hours. It's just insane. So anyway, try some HIIT. I'd start out once a week and then try some steady state cardio maybe 3 times a week, and that's what I would start with, but start low. And you've always got to think about the long game. Cardio is a tool. It's not something that needs to be in there high all the time, because it's something else that your body has to recover from, and you want to be careful from that. All right, another mistake, dropping calories too low to start. Now, I think we can all agree with this one. Like, we're all tempted to just drop the bottom out and get it all off because we want to, quote unquote, lose it now. And you can drop some weight really fast. If you go back to the last presentation I did about rapid fat loss and diet breaks, I do talk about a fast way to do a rapid fat loss plan, but it's for a very short amount of time. Very short periods, like 2 weeks, and then you do a diet break. So I'm all for dropping calories real low for just a short amount of time. If you go back and listen to that last presentation, it was episode 104, I believe. But now let's talk about if we're just doing traditional standard dieting. You know, if you're dieting for 2, 3, 4 months, you don't want to drop the bottom out on the calories. And what happens is you drop weight fast, but then all of a sudden after a couple weeks, you've got very low energy. It slows your metabolic rate. Metabolic adaptation is a real thing. So females, if you want to start off and drop the bottom out and go to 1,100 calories to start, you're going to drop a lot for 2 weeks, but then your metabolism is going to adapt to low calories. You're going to stall out. You're going to be hungry. It's going to lead to falling off the plan, and it's not the best bet if that's what's happening. So dropping the calories low when you've got a lot of long ways to go is definitely a mistake. You know, guys are the same way. Like, I'll see guys drop their calories down to 1,700. That's great for a couple weeks, but what are you going to do? If you needed to diet off 80 pounds and you drop down to 1,700 to 1,800 calories, what are you going to do when you stall? You don't have any room. So it's a huge mistake that people make. Dieting is hard. Don't make it harder. That last bullet point is exactly that. So don't fall into that trap. It's very tempting. And I think we all think that way, right? We're human. So remember the total overall goal. This is how we fix it. Of course, you also need to remember the less you have to lose, the shorter that you need to diet. So if you only need to lose 10 pounds, by all means, diet for 6 to 8 weeks, right? Get that 10 pounds off. You can go a little lower calorie that way because you have less to lose. But if you need to lose 60, 70, 80 pounds and you need to stretch that out, you need to not drop the bottom out of your calories. So I like to tell people, start with a 25%, reduction in your calories to start. And, you know, I should put on there 15 to 25%. The more you have to lose, the more you want to start with a lower reduction in calories, because you need to save your calories when you stall to be able to keep dropping those down. So 15 to 25% off the top of your maintenance calories to start a deficit is a good way to start. And then balance out that calorie drop with adding some cardio, like we talked about. So, 3 to 5 days of cardio, maybe 3 days of steady state and 1 to 2 HIIT cardio, and then a 15 to 25% reduction in calories. That's a great way to start, and it leaves you some room when you do stall to be able to adjust. So, finally, this last bullet point here, this is something that's always interesting. sometimes if you're someone that you haven't been counting your calories or even exercising, or you're very new, you don't even have to cut your calories. So I see a lot of, like, I'll say the mom, right? Of, she's 23 year old. She's had a baby, and 6 months post baby, she needs to drop about, you know, 20, 30 pounds. She's never really exercised before. I can actually diet someone on higher calories. I might put her on 1800 to 2000 calories, and all of a sudden she recomps. So recomp is when you lose fat and you gain muscle at the same time. And I've seen a lot of people in this situation where they're just dropping inches like crazy. Clothes size is going down. They look like a completely different human, but their scale weight doesn't move a ton because they're adding muscle and they're dropping fat. It's also a good reason why we don't want to get hung up on the scale. And, you know, I see it happen really well with women. Guys, it happens too. I see a lot of guys around 25. They went to college or they did something after high school and they've just kind of settled into life. And they haven't really worked out a ton before, and they've just gotten heavy. And all of a sudden, I introduce, you know, eating enough protein and working out 5 days a week, and they start shedding body fat, and then boom, they're getting very muscular. And, you know, Chris Zielinski, a good picture is another guy here. Like, he worked out, right, but he wasn't super hardcore. But this guy's transformation was amazing. I mean, you're looking at over 40 pounds here, if I remember the scale weight right. So there's a lot of times where you can keep the calories high, and you can recomp somebody and make really good progress. To continue this on, a few more things that we want to talk about. If you're someone that's been dieting and your calories are already low, before you diet again, you want to make sure to get those calories up once they're kind of already low. So in other words, you need to prime your metabolism for future fat loss. And I like to reverse the diet people that come to me already low calorie for 8 to 12 weeks. It seems to be long enough. And then we dive right back into dieting. So the general rule of thumb is, if you're dieting, like say you're dieting right now and you're on low calories and you're not really losing fat and you're not making the progress you want, it's time to pull the cardio out. It's time to slowly add calories back and start to prime that metabolism. Now, you're not going to gain fat unless you just go crazy and eat off plan. But here's look at these next couple bullet points. Here's kind of the framework, so to speak. And I'll do a whole presentation on metabolic capacity and reverse dieting. But pull your cardio out for a while. Slowly add calories back in, usually in the form of carbohydrates work the best. Add 10 to 20 carbs a week, since carbohydrates boost metabolism and leptin. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, why would you only add 10 carbs a week? I like to add 10 carbs a week when people are already adding food and they've kind of fallen off the plan and they're overeating a couple times a week on their own. Then you can add you still need to add some carbs, right? But if you think about it, if they're sticking to their plan really well, you know, and a female's eating 1,100, 1,200 calories, add 20 carbs in every single week for 6 weeks. Now you've just added 120 carbs to her plan, and they've not gained a lot of fat in 6 weeks. So that's a good time frame. Guys, I like to add between 20 and 30, depending. You know, there's those outliers that I can add, you know, 40 carbs a week. That's not very often, but, you know, 20 to 30 seems to be a good range. And females, I typically try and get up closer to 20 if I can. And then finally, if the reverse dieting is done right, sometimes people continue to lose fat while increasing their calories, and that's because your metabolic rate speeds up. Cortisol drops. You start to make more thyroid hormone. Cortisol drops. So there's a way to systematically do it with reverse dieting and keep tightening up and losing body fat. Okay, another mistake here, a big one. This is not a sexy one. This is one I don't want you guys to fast forward through. Don't double tap fast forward on this one. Lack of planning. So if you're a coach, especially if you're a coach, this one you really need to pay attention to, because I dig this one out of my clients. It's one of the biggest mistakes that I see my clients make. And a lot of it comes with meal prep. I see a lot of people, I give them their protein, carbs, and fats broken down into meals and their calories for the day. And a lot of people, they just try and fly by the seat of their pants and they just try and hit their protein, carbs, fats, and their calories at the end of the day. Basically, an if it fits your macros approach. There's no planning. And a lack of planning leads to eating off the plan. If I just got up and went to work, and I had one meal with me, and I was just going to wing it the rest of the day and just log everything I ate, and then at the end of the night, I'm trying to like fill in the gaps, I'm telling you that would never work. One, I'd eat all my food way too early. I'd have like 10 protein left and like, I don't know, 10 carbs, and it doesn't work. I'm telling you, it's a lack of planning, and IIFYM that throws people off. So I'm going to end up at Taco Bell. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And that happens with a lot of my clients. And also, lack of planning doesn't build consistency when it becomes, you know, a part of winning. There's a lot of research out there that shows when you do things that consistently help you win and check the box for the day, like meal prep, that is huge. So think about it. Well, you know what? We're going to get into it when we talk about how to fix it. And it's just something you can't develop winning habits if you're just flying by the seat of your pants. So lack of planning is something I'm telling you, it sabotages a ton of my clients. So let's talk about how to fix it. Divide your macros, your protein, carbs, fats, and calories into 4 to 6 meals instead of just eating and tracking. And always, always, always have your food prepped and ready the night before and take it with you. Take a lunchbox with you. It doesn't really matter if you're going to work for the day, throw it in the fridge, but always have your lunchbox with you and have an extra meal with you. You know, I like to, you guys, if you can see in the top right-hand corner, I've got my shaker here. I like to carry around a sandwich baggie with 2 scoops of protein powder or even a protein bar. Even though I'm not a huge fan of protein bars, I'll keep that with me when I'm dieting, because we all go through times where all of a sudden something happens at work and you got to be there an extra 4 or 5 hours. And if you don't have food ready, everybody else that's having to stay, they're ordering pizza, like they're trying to make staying at work fun, right? Don't fall into that trap. So always have an extra meal with you. I'll drink a shake, I'll have that protein bar, maybe both, and I can stay on plan when everyone else is falling off. So that's another thing that you need to do to fix it. Meal prep 1 to 2 days a week, so that way you have your food ready, and then always have it ready the night before. That way you get up in the morning, throw your stuff in your cooler. I've got a nice cooler backpack I take, and then when you're gone all day, you can just eat your meals. You warm them up and you eat them, and you go about it. You can cook in bulk, crock pot chicken, rice in bulk, burger, like there's all sweet potatoes. There's all kinds of stuff that you can make in bulk, and there's easy stuff to take with you. Whey in sandwich baggies, oatmeal in sandwich baggies. Any kind of packaged carbs you want is totally fine. Make your meals and freeze them, and then you just take frozen meals with you and pop them in the microwave and warm them up. That's fine, but always make sure that you have your food with you. Now, I want to talk about the winning component to this, and this is going to sound like this is a self-help podcast, but as a coach that coaches clients to be successful, there's something, the research out there shows, the more you can check the box and win the day, the more consistent you're going to be. So if you think about it, when you actually go through the process of prepping your food, taking it with you, getting in the meals that you're supposed to have that day, doing your workout, doing your cardio, and you check the box, you've now won the day, and now you win 2 to 3 days, and you win the week. And once you start winning weeks, you start winning months, and it becomes literally a habit. You form that habit, and you're just consistent. And we all know so many people fall off of this lifestyle because they just can't stick to it, and it's lack of planning. If they would just be diligent with their lack of plan or with their planning process, it's the lack of planning that's sabotaging them. And then finally, this bonus mistake I want to talk about, not going all in. So I have people that hire me, and listen, 99% of my clients, they are all in. They are just awesome. They're paying me good money. I send them their plan, and if it's a fat loss plan, they are all in. But I have a lot of people that I know that hire other coaches, and I've had them from time to time, or they're just doing the diet themselves, and they're not present in the moment. And when it's time to diet, it's time to fucking diet. Like, it's not time to mess around. It's not time to coast. You have to go all in. You have to give max effort. You need to prep your meals. You need to only eat the meals that you have prepped. Like, you don't need to be out eating Subway and then trying to wing it at the end of the night and try and do these different things to hit your macros, right? You need to go all in. And I just see it all the time. From my experience, the clients that get the best results, and by the way, all these people pictured here, like I said in the beginning, they're my client. They've all been people that went all in and got amazing results. Brian Lagunas here is a perfect example. You know, when he was dieting, we were working together. Obviously, the guy doesn't have great genetics. He's fought being a heavy guy for a long time. He went all in. He was very present in the moment. So when it's time to diet, go all in. You can coast when you're done. There's nothing wrong with that. We all need a time to coast. But when there's a job to be done, you have to go all in. And finally, I'll leave you with this. I like to liken this to a C student versus an A student. So we all remember in high school, we saw people that were, you know, the A students. They were the people that always did their homework. They were the people that studied for every test. They got good grades. They were very accomplished. And then some of us were C students, and we were just kind of screwing around. We wing it and maybe do our homework. We turn it in late, and we were always average. We were never getting great results. When it comes to dieting and physique enhancement, are you a C student? Are you an A student? You know, and when it's time to go, it's time to go. So I want everybody to think about being an A student, not a C student. This is how you fix it. Here's some like nice little keys that I want people to think about. Besides obviously being present in the moment, write down 3 things a day that get you to your goal at the end of 8 weeks or 12 weeks or 5 months. It doesn't matter. And maybe that's get your food prepped for the day and your meals in. Maybe it's drink a gallon of water if that's one of your goals. And maybe it's do your training and your cardio. And you check those boxes and you knock those out and you make those a priority. You don't go to bed without those 3 things being done. And that's how you create the winning habits that you need to have. I'm really, really big on keeping a to-do list, okay? And I always put things like that on my to-do list that I have to get done. So remember, days and days and weeks of being present in the moment and giving 110% max effort leads to months of progress. And that's what helps make this a permanent lifestyle. It all starts with being present and in the moment every single day. So I hope that you enjoyed this presentation. Again, if you ever have questions, put them in the comments below. I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to answer any questions you have or just even have discussions back and forth. If you ever need anything, you can shoot me an email. I'm not going to spam you. It's john@fatmuscleproject.com. Please like, subscribe, and review, and check out some of these other videos that are popping up next. See ya, and have a great day.